went through this phase. I don't know where this came from, where she sounded like she was from New York. New York. She'd be like, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it because it was.
Was she dating
weird.
Some dude who was from New York?
You know what? She was actually, but it was over the phone. They met on an airplane.
Nah, well, that's good enough. That's good enough.
That still carries it. Yeah.
Yeah, and like he was best friends with Billy Joel.
And really?
Oh, like, was he? Was he?
Look, I don't know, right? Who knows?
My long-distance boyfriend from New York.
Was right after my parents like first split up, and like I was in high school, and you know, my mom is like a real bubbly. I mean, it's easy to get along with her, right? So it doesn't astonish me that someone would be, you know, taken by her personality on an airplane when she's just like probably having some wine, you know.
Great. Yeah.
Whatever.
No, I'm sure Christian Cage would love your mom.
Sure. Oh my God. He would love my mom. But anyways, or whatever.
I heard you about to ignore that and move on and then you couldn't.
But anyway, yeah. So he said that when Billy Joel's out of town or something, he had this like one home somewhere in New York that like he would get to stay there sometimes, you know, because Billy Joel's got lots of houses, whatever. And they're buds. And I don't remember exactly where it was, but it was one of those, it was like a vacation hall or something, somewhere. I don't remember anymore. And he asked my mom to come. And mm-hmm. he also extended the invitation to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you should come visit, you know, mm-hmm. come to New York. Mm-hmm. I'll show you around. Da, da, da. Mm-hmm. And, my mom never told me about it until way late, until she had broken up with this guy. And I was like, why did you not? I would have gone. I would have loved to go. And I would know if the guy was full of shit.
Your mom knew. That's why she didn't effing tell you.
No, she was my too God. Scared. It was right after my parents split up. She was too scared.
No. No. It's true. Look, I get it. You were young.
You
were young.
Tell me. I know my mother.
No, but there are 8 billion red flags on this story that tells me that guy was full of shit.
Like what?
Okay. What red flag? We're just having a long distance relationship over the telephone where I tell you that I'm friends with Billy Joel and I get to hang out at his house when he's not around.
First of all, it was the 90s. Okay. So it's not like they could have communicated in any other way. Okay. And it had to be on the phone. She was a mother. She had to be in Illinois. He was whoever he was, and he was in New York.
Exactly. He was in New York having
He wanted to come visit, but she wouldn't let him.
Oh, he wanted to. Oh, because
Chan believes that he was in New York.
You think he also lived in Chicago and was just like doing that affectation to seem foreign and exotic?
I don't know. If anything is in question, everything is in question.
That's true. That is 100% true.
I'm just saying, my mom,
mm-hmm.
this guy was for real. He asked her, I mean, you don't know all this. I'm going to go into the whole fucking relationship with you right now. And I really don't like this characterization of my mom.
Your mom is fine. She was correct.
You saying all this stuff.
She never went to New York because she knew this dude was full of shit. I'm sure it was just a fun fling. That did not involve breaking into someone's house and claiming it was Billy Joel's.
Stop it.
Because that's how that would have ended.
Who the fuck would say that? Who the fuck would do that?
Are you kidding me? There are entire television shows dedicated to this very thing.
Oh, please.
Catfishing. It happened before the internet, I assure you.
Whatever. For some reason, I thought you were going to say Cat Stevens. But maybe also it's Cat full Stevens. Of shit, Yusuf, but I don't think so.
Yusuf Islam.
But he went back to Cat Stevens. So you're behind the times.
That's good. Yeah, well, here, back when he was Yusuf Islam, I used to house sit for him when he was out of town. So, you know, I don't know what his thing is now. But welcome to AE Double Back. Leaving that all in. Leaving that all in because that is awesome. October 10th, 2023. It's Title Tuesday because of some sporting thing. I don't know. Caller, help me out. What was the sporting it's thing baseball. That they had to move wrestling for? Baseball.
I think it's okay. Baseball. Yeah.
Is it like a playoff or a World Series or something?
Yeah, it's the playoffs. It's not the World Series yet.
I know that a World Series is a thing, and that is the extent of it.
The Dodgers are getting slaughtered, so that's why the Title Tuesday.
I see. Wonderful. That is all mm-hmm. I need to know about this baseball thing.
I don't care to tell you more. Baseball. I think I slipped wrestling. Into Australian.
We have an insane amount of wrestling because it's going up against NXT. NXT pulled out all the stops. I heard that they were going to get The Undertaker on the show, which
they did that.
Seems banana hands. Did they?
I don't think he went full Undertaker is what it sounded like to me.
Oh, no, he just showed up. Hi, I'm Mark Callis. You may know me as The Undertaker. Yeah, or Mark Callis.
He actually did an impression of what's his name from The Simpsons?
Phil Hartman. Yeah. Troy McClure.
Troy McClure, yeah.
No, I'm going to call him Phil Hartman because Phil Hartman deserves that. Every role of his should be Phil Hartman. I mean, person, whoever it is. Bill McNeil or whatevs.
Put those cookies down.
So they did a 10-minute overrun. They told everybody ahead of time, like, you know, we're going big. Then they did 30 minutes commercial free at the beginning of the show. Then they did a 30-minute buy-in, which is insane.
It's
to
funny
have
because
a
in,
buy-in show before.
In this case, it's not like buy the pay-per-view. It's like buy into the concept of the rest of the show.
It's just a watch-in. I don't understand it, but
it was called bonus scenes.
Yeah, sure. Call it deleted scenes or something. But like, and God bless Tony Khan. Like, I would not have watched that. That dumb idea, except that it was Eddie Kingston versus Minoru Suzuki. So they're like, okay, the old farts, those are the people, those are the only people we could possibly convince to come watch this thing a half hour early. And you know what?
We'll get them on YouTube.
You know what? I got on YouTube. I watched that shit live and it was fantastic. Heartily recommend the match if you did not watch it. It's on YouTube, so you can go watch it for freezies.
Freezies.
Anywho, did you guys watch it?
I watched it after I watched the main show, and yeah. I was alert like through pretty much the match, and then I think I drifted off to sleep.
Oh, there was nothing there except it was just the match. So you're good. But yeah, worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then the show proper started with Christian effing Cage.
Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. The best opening promo. He's in the command center.
Command center. Yeah.
Just being a smarmy asshole and talking about how
he calls himself the face of WB Discovery.
That's so great.
If only
the good old days of Don Callis as I think it was Cyrus the Virus back then when he was on ECW and the network was the big bad, and so Callis was just, you know, this smarmy like corporate guy, and is talking about like, oh, the network doesn't like this or that, and he tries to, you know, like, no more boobies, no more extra violence, which is, you know, what people come to ECW for. But like, the network as the bad guy is such a fun, I guess we can call it old school now because that's 25 years ago.
I mean, they've done that in every art medium, television, movie, all of it.
Yeah.
That's like, I mean, he obviously didn't create that,
No.
He just but did it in
wrestling. I feel like that was the first time they made a real use of it in professional wrestling.
Sure,
yeah. Because you get your Vincent McMahon and you've got your, you know, your heel stables and all that sort of thing. And what is the big bad, you know, to take on the good guys?
Like David Letterman.
Yeah.
Letterman
is the
villain. He always talks shit about his network, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Or like, yeah. John Oliver does today. Like, I feel like The Simpsons really popularized it talking trash about Fox.
Definitely they do. And Butterfinger, for that matter. episode where they threw Butterfingers in the fire. They were throwing kids' Halloween candy in the fire. And like the fire was spitting out the Butterfingers. And Clancy Wiggum says, "Even the fire won't eat them." I just thought that was funny.
Since we are coming up to Halloween, favorite Halloween candy?
It's Snickers.
Snickers. Okay. Classic.
I guess Twix, but that's a tough question because I'm like, now I'm thinking, does it have to be candy that's only available at Halloween?
I mean, you can get Snickers any time of year.
Yeah, I wasn't worried about that.
I'm talking about in the fun size. In the fun size.
Yeah.
Because that might make a difference. Like, you may be into a small Snickers, but a full size Snickers too much. You know? It might be.
I don't know. I'm also a fan of candy corn.
Yeah. Okay. I don't mind candy corn. I think it's like hipsters, talk trash about it, but it's sugar.
Like, it's sugar paste. I want it by the bucket load.
No, maybe not a bucket of it. I feel like I'm leaving the bus at
a
this
little,
point.
Small
I
bucket.
Want handfuls.
A bucket.
Handfuls. Tiny bucket. I like to
tiny bucket.
Eat a lot tiny of them at once, bucket. But then I also
there we go.
Also now like we to take bites. I like to take bites also where I'm taking just like certain colors. So like you know, you eat it in thirds. Just weird shit like this. It's just a fun thing to eat.
I really do wish that
the pumpkin ones.
The different flavors were actual different flavors instead of just the same damn flavor. Yeah. But, you know, you can do what you can.
It's sort of like marzipan, you know, like it's really delicious almond paste, but, and you know, you can.
I've heard people say that, but my experience is not really borne that out.
Form them and paint them so that they look like, you know, little fruits.
You know what? If you can paint a thing. Probably not that good tasting.
It's like food coloring.
Mm.
Have you never had marzipan?
I've had a little bit of it. I feel like it's one of those things like Turkish Delight where like you get sold a bill of goods in your various children's literature and then you actually have it and you're like, this is
various.
What the fuck?
Turkish Delight, you're like, dates? The fuck? Yeah. I thought this was a Snicker.
Don't you get me with this fruit is nature's candy bullshit. It's Halloween. I need sugar.
No, marzipan is definitely not a trick. So I feel like either you didn't have it or what you had was like, I don't know.
Look, I've had princess cake and it's fine, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But it's just like not. Like high on my list of things.
Sure.
For the record, I am generally a Twix man. Do like 100 grand.
Because
caramel's like my main jam.
Oh yeah,
but
caramellos.
Rolos actually. I do get Rolos this time of year. Okay. I'll buy a couple bags and just gonna go through them.
Nice.
And yeah, the 100 grands are good, but kind of cheap. I mean, it's not the not the classiest candy, so
they are the ones that are selling a bill of goods.
Mm-hmm.
They say we are a hundred grand, and you're like, no, you ain't.
Look, it's a Nestle Crunch combined with a friggin' Rolo. That's pretty great.
You know what else I love is Payday. Woo, delicious! That sweet and salty combo. That's so perfect.
I definitely, as a kid, I was not on board. As an adult, I'm like, okay, I guess this isn't too bad. Mm-hmm. But like anything with just like nuts like that or raisins, God help you. If you got a raisin-based candy, mm-mm.
Ooh, boy. Raisinettes are occasionally all right.
I feel like if you can get them in bulk, because they're just chocolate-covered raisins, it shouldn't really qualify as a Halloween candy. Anyway, feel free to reach out to us on something.
Oh, and we got a really lovely gift.
Oh, dang, yes. I totally forgot.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It's, like, insanely kind, and I'm, like, so taken aback. It's so sweet.
Yes. We got a gift certificate to AMC.
Hey.
Thank you, Doug Johnson. You're amazing.
Thank you, Doug.
I hope that there are still pay-per-views at AMC. Because
there will be.
The next one, we're going to live. So we're not going to a theater. After that, you know, like the next one won't be until
the millionth one.
January or February?
We don't know that. We don't know if it won't be until then because they've been having a million pay-per-views lately.
That's true, but when I went to look it up, because I was hoping there would be something before Full Gear, and there isn't, and the latest they have out is like New Year's Bash or something like that, and I think that's just a normal Dynamite.
Well, whatever. We will use this gift card for pay-per-view purposes.
If nothing else, we can go see the movie that they made about the Von Erichs.
That's true. That's true.
Wow.
Maybe they'll show Heels in a theater.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
Ryan Nemeth's movie?
No, Heels. I'm thinking
the
Stars
wrestling show, which got canceled.
The goddamn Stephen Amell was being a jerk about when the strike was going on.
Yeah. Plus, the writers got what they asked for, so it's great. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
Yep.
The actors are still out there pounding the pavement.
Yeah, the actors still have.
Fuck the actors.
Oh,
writers. There wasn't put it.
Wow.
Ding ding ding-a-ling ding. All right. Christian Cage, this is WB Discovery. He said there's also going to be 30 minutes commercial free. It was so nice. It was such a great fun. I don't know. It just made me think of like really old school television. You know, like these types of announcements or weird things like this, I feel like used to be more prevalent long time ago when like there were stations, TV stations and shit like this, you know. But so it was just kind of neat to see. I gave also, it a thumbs up.
It was also kind of a hearkening back to the glory days of the Monday Night Wars, where you had WWE or WWF and WCW just like hot-shotting things all the time and just trying to, you know, do the one big thing that would finally put the nail in the coffin of the other guys, and very tribal, which is that was kind of crummy, but like so much really great stuff got made because each, you know, company was trying to outdo the other. I'm for it. And Christian, obviously, just so good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thumbs up.
I didn't appreciate him being abusive towards the production crew, though. He was very aggressive.
Yeah, that's never okay, Christian.
Come on, Christian.
Next we have Bryan Danielson versus Swerve. Just like stop the presses right there. Like say no
money,
more.
Money.
Say no more.
Money.
And Swerve still looks like a fucking supervillain. Mm-hmm. Perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Cool as fuck. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget WrestleDream. I made this note because we forgot to mention it last time. So during WrestleDream, in the buy-in, Josh Barnett was wrestling Claudio.
Did we not mention that?
We didn't mention it. And
really?
Josh Barnett, we interviewed him, and you can watch it on YouTube. It's also on one of our old podcast things, but you can also watch it.
He's a hella cool dude.
Fucking great. Wonderful interview. Good times were had by all. Nice guy. Anyways, badass wrestler. I was very excited about it.
Yeah, he does a really different style, you know, like shoot fighting, basically. Has his own promotion, Bloodsport. And it was super cool to see it in AEW. And I really hope that they, you know, just like they bring in luchadors, you know, they bring in Japanese wrestlers, and like we get to see all this different stuff. I would like to see a little bit more of like the shoot fighting, you know, stuff.
Yes. And that is why I think I thought of Josh Barnett, because Danielson was grappling with Swerve, which is a fun thing to see, because Swerve is very much, you know, does a lot of aerial work, does a lot of the other stuff. But obviously all of these guys can grapple, whether or not they're as good at grappling or whatever, who knows? We'll have to find out, right? That's why these matches exist. So I just thought it was great. So Danielson was able to get Swerve grappling on the mat, but Swerve got Danielson on the ropes, or he just did it on his own, you know, whatever. But like, it was just so interesting to see this like swapping of strengths, right? So it was just really neat. But I thought for sure, because they kept playing up Bryan Danielson's injuries, I was like, oh, they're doing this so that, like, you know, Swerve can win. And Swerve had what I thought was a kick-ass finish, but it wasn't a finish. Danielson kicked out. And then Nana's crown, I was like, yay. But, like, no, Hangman took the crown. So Swerve couldn't use it. And then, oh my God, Danielson wins. I was like, what the fuck?
That was a fantastic damn finish.
It was great.
Like, on the one hand, like I really want to see Swerve start racking up some wins.
Yeah.
On the other hand, you know, it's Bryan Danielson, and no shame in taking the L to that guy.
Yeah,
And they did it in a way that
he's got like a shattered arm or something.
Yeah,
but he's also Bryan Danielson, and shattered arm. Even on a shattered arm, he's still better than 95% of the wrestlers out there. So, like, yeah, it all felt great, and nobody felt like they walked away the loser of this thing. So that's so wonderful.
Yeah, it was fucking fantastic. I mean, huge thumbs up.
Yeah, big thumbs up too.
Absolutely.
All right. So this is where I note to myself that AEW has a lot of Adams right now.
Now?
Yeah, because we had like, you know, just an odd amount of Adams. I'm like, are there really this many Adams in the world? Like Adam Cole and Adam Page, obviously.
Teresa, now we have
Adam Copeland.
There are more Adams in the world than there are stars in the universe.
Whatever.
That's, I mean, we started with an Adam.
You're so wrong about that.
I'm making a wordplay joke, and I will have you respect my punning.
Well, what are
ATOM?
Atoms.
Oh, God damn it. Up and at them.
up and at them.
Respect the puns. Respect the puns.
All right. So Samoa Joe, he's in a suit again, and I love it.
Oh, God. So good.
Yes.
He's talking about MJF and the belt. Just great. I don't know. I really liked it. Thumbs up.
Yeah. You can't say anything bad about this. He's like that he can have that kind of intensity and charisma just sitting, not even raising his voice. Just so good.
He's on some tropical beach.
Yeah.
Looked cool.
Tropical beach.
I was like, I thought it was like maybe it was Florida, but then I was like, actually, it could be somewhere else. God, it could be Hawaii. I don't know.
I mean, I think he lives in Huntington Beach, so.
Oh, well then, there we go. Maybe they have prettier beaches than I remember.
South Bay, am I right?
I mean, that's where all the surf competitions are, so it's got at least some waves, that's for sure.
Well, surfers leave their trash around.
For sure, man. I sound like Janice from the Muppets, and I've heard from credible sources from England that that is exactly how I sound to them.
So England thinks you sound like a Muppet.
For sure, man. I do.
I think that's fair.
Anyway, did we all thumbs this up? Do we have anything else to say about it? Calder?
Yeah, no.
Or no, did Calder want to talk about the Muppets? Oh,
yeah, I want to talk about the Muppets. I was thinking that since Samoa Joe is in a suit again, it's possible that he owns it and he didn't just rent it. So good for you, Samoa Joe.
RTO,
how
rent
dare
to own.
You? He is a former world champ. He is a current ROH television champion. He's the king of television. You think he doesn't own any number of top quality suits? I'm not talking men's warehouse suits. I'm talking the good shit.
Yeah,
he is styling and profiling. Sure, which is in the South Bay, as we have previously.
Oh yeah,
ascertained.
So Jericho versus Hobbs. Okay, Jericho comes out. Who cares? Hobbs, the shot, the choice to shoot Hobbs from behind, and you see his back and shoulders. I was like, this is fucking genius. This is genius. The man is huge. He is a muscle bound giant. He's so tall. This was so perfect. And I was so happy with it.
No so notes is great.
Then we have a match, and it's just a complete demolition of Jericho,
it's
basically.
It's a slow squash. Yeah.
Jericho is left motionless on the mat.
Hobbs at one point says, "It's over, Chris." And I was like, oh, fuck, that's devastating. Like, saying that to a guy who's sitting there, like, trying to, like, move. Damn. Let's see. Jericho had some moves, but basically, you know, it just did not matter. And God, I fucking love this for Hobbs and that sneer. And he should be with Don Callis, because this is exactly what I expect from someone who's paired with Callis, right? Better direction all around, like how he's presented to the audience, how he's presented on the camera. The fact that he's on this week's Dynamite. You know what I mean? Like, that alone, just being the Callis magic touch, like his people getting so much camera time, you know, like, I'm into that, of course. And I don't know. Hobbs wins. It's great. I'm happy. Thumbs up.
Yeah, obviously it's wonderful. It's a great way to showcase him and to put him over a big star like Jericho. Later on, they say that, you know, Jericho has been taken to a hospital. So, like, they don't really, like, lean hard on the, like, oh, my God, he's, you know, he's not biting down on a blood capsule and, you know, spitting blood out of his mouth or anything like that. But just sort of like, this is how, you know, terrifying this dude is. And love it so much. Want nothing but the best for Hobbs.
Yeah. Turkish delights all around for Hobbs.
No, the exact opposite. Whatever the opposite of Turkish delights is, I want that for Hobbs. I want gold-flecked 100 grands. Like 100 grand fun-size bars that actually cost $100,000.
Dang.
That's what I want for him.
Why not king-sized?
Because I don't want to eat an entire 100 grand. That's weird.
It's not for you.
It's metaphorically, it's for all of us. All of us will enjoy this gold flecked wonderfulness.
Yeah, there's why comedian. Oh, sorry.
No, tell us about the comedian.
Shang Wang.
Yeah.
Shang Wang. He's hilarious. And he has a joke about Mounds bars. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all have thought this, right? Like, why is it called mounds? You know what it looks like.
Mounds.
And he's like, you know what this looks like, right? And you're calling it mounds. He's like, mounds is a good name if your only other option is piles. it just kills me. If people haven't seen Shang Wang's stand-up, he has a special on Netflix. Just watch it. He's hilarious.
He is a delight, yes.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So anyways, mounds, piles, 100 grands. Moving right along. Got Adam Cole.
I like coconut candies, though.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What? You want to talk about candy?
I mean, if you cut some more candy talk, bring it up.
Mounds and Almond Joy, for sure. Very good.
As do I. Mounds less than Almond Joy, because, I mean, I like the textural difference there.
Yeah, the almond. The only,
yes.
Yes, the only difference almond. Is the almonds.
Yes, indeed. almond piles, I guess you would want to call them. That's fine. That's fine.
It's mostly coke. It's literally a mouse
coke?
Bar.
It's not, I don't think you're coconut. Eating the same kind of candies that we are.
Oh my God. It's a coconut.
Los Angeles girl.
It's exactly a mouse bar with, like, depending on if you get the fun size. If it's fun size, it's a single almond. If it's a full size, well, it's two, right? It's always two. So I guess it's always technically a fun size. But, like, yeah, it'll just be like one almond in there.
Yeah, because I don't think it's, you understand
the only confectioning. Difference.
Yeah.
It's just so funny how
it is the correct
it's like,
difference.
It's just so funny.
You're like,
it's,
oh,
it's
God,
the only
this
difference.
Cheeseburger is just a burger with cheese on it. Yeah.
I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Do
but it's
you?
Also just
it doesn't
so funny.
Sound like you do. I mean, sounds like we're entirely missing.
Why is one called Almond Joy and the other is called Mounds? Why not just like Almond Joy
and
coconut
joy?
And Coconut Joy or something?
Because there's coconut in the Almond Joy too.
Yeah, but the difference being that almond, man. Why you call it a cheeseburger when there's just one slice of cheese?
That's what I said.
I know.
You were agreeing
I'm
with
it back to you. I'm saying
you're saying it should be called Almond okay Mounds.
I'm saying it's okay to call one Coconut Joy and one Almond Joy. It's like saying hamburger and cheeseburger. They're both burgers. Joy's there. One's the hamburger. No cheese. One's the...
Your soap vocalizations are really creepy, just so you know.
I need to be understood.
I just think it's very clear that the one with the almonds should be called Mounds, and the other one should be Coconut Joy.
Interesting. Because of the mound of almond? The single mound?
Because like they're like it's called Mounds,
so
there's because
there's there
mounds of coconut in it. But like they make it into a square flat shape, so like that really gets blunted.
Yeah. Someone was like, this looks
I'm
too much like my dog shit. Like
wow.
My dog's this looks too much wow like my dog's runny shit. Can
Are
you
we
change
talking about
it?
Baby Ruth's now? Baby Ruth's are the classic. This
That's
looks
the
like
classic this that they put in like diapers and sketches and movies and stuff.
Why don't they just call them baby shits instead of Baby Ruth? That would make more sense, wouldn't it?
Maybe it's named after Baby Ruth's shits. Maybe
it's
someone,
named after
some executive had a baby named Ruth and is like, you know what this looks like? Mm-hmm. I've just changed a diaper for the first time in my life because I'm a man in the 30s. And it looks like...
I mean, the
like
fact that he changed one is pretty impressive for a man in the 30s. And also, he's an executive of a candy company.
Yeah,
like, that's a
exactly
busy dude.
He's like, look, I just had a life-changing experience and we must name this after my daughter's shit, okay? So let's just name it Baby Ruth.
If your epiphany has to do with fecal matter in any way, shape, or form, you have lived a poor life.
Well, that's not true because, look, shit, there's lots
happens
of things. Yes, it does. And quite literally. And you do change your relationship to shit as life rolls along. And if you deal with children, you suddenly are like, this is the like what I thought I would never be able to tolerate suddenly is all over me. And now I have like, I don't, it's like, I'm not having the reaction I thought I would have. What's wrong with me or what's right with me or where am I in my, where am I in the world? that this right. is now yeah. my life.
I don't know. It sounds like you've just become a shit fetishist. And I don't think that that's a growth in any way.
When a kid has diarrhea all over you, you don't become a shit fetishist, but you don't suddenly like freak out and vomit everywhere like you always believed that you would if something like that would ever happen to you. Or if your kid barfs all over you, you know, you always thought, oh, I have such a sensitive thing to vomit. If someone vomits on me, I'm going to vomit. But then a kid literally throws up all over you. Pees and poops on you, and you're just like, oh, I guess I am not having that reaction. Instead, I'm like more into crisis mode and cleaning and how everything will be just fine.
It's like, the circle of poop.
It's funny.
And the winds are breaking.
I think you learn a lot about yourself. I think shit can teach you a lot of things.
You know what? Sometimes when Elton John's out of town, I house sit for him.
Oh, that's very interesting. Tell me more. Yeah, where does he live? Do you know?
I'll tell you over long phone calls from New York. Elton John lives in New York, by the way.
Well, you don't know that.
Sing us a song, you're the piano man.
All right. Adam Cole.
God, I don't know how much I'd have to keep singing to get back on track.
Okay, so basically Roderick wants Adam Cole to cut his lawn. Just another jokey joke about how Adam's the only person with a fucked up leg, and yet he's got to do things that are just purely leg intensive. Not as funny as the last one. And I'm also just like, Cole should be over this. When is he going to be over this shit? He needs to get surgery. Why is he not over this? And then not only this, but Roderick Strong's house is in the middle of nowhere, has no cell service, and there's no TVs. And Roderick says TV is the devil, which I'm like, well, then you should be happy you're not featured on AEW more often.
Wow.
TV is the devil.
Cold-blooded Teresa.
The TV is the devil, but the cameras are not.
The camera must capture your soul.
A fine distinction.
So, I don't know. I'm like really losing my patience with this storyline. So, I it's a middle. It could have been a down, but it's a middle.
It's got to please you that they only showed it once.
Well, there is that.
Yeah, that definitely helped.
In their defense, for me personally, I think in the same way that I really started digging Roddy when he started getting cartoonishly over the top. When it wasn't just Adam, it was like, Adam! And like, I can sort of embrace it on that level. And this, as a continuation of the previous week, should it have heightened a little more? Sure. That's because we're friggin' sketch comedy nerds. But I do think that they're embracing it a lot. And the fact that he's been at Roddy's house for 2 weeks doing chores when he needs to get surgery is cartoony over the top. I will also say Cole is injured. And so whatever we got to do for him to keep, you know, being and giving us entertainment while he can't wrestle, I'm fine with. So like for this whole thing, like worked for me, especially because we have coined the term next strongest, as in the giraffe is the next strongest animal.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun. Obviously it will go over into too much real soon, but I think you're still doing okay.
Interesting. It was a middle for me also, just because it was like not as funny as the previous one, and it didn't really grow beyond it.
Yeah.
How am I the fucking Pollyanna Sunshine here?
You just happen to like this better than me and Calder. I don't know. I tend to think me and Calder have better taste, but
yeah, I think that's accurate.
Coming from the mounds lady, I don't buy it. The coconut joy, if you will.
Any hoodles.
So delicious.
Bing, 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 bing.
Orange Cassidy versus Ray Phoenix.
This was great match. Ray, you know, is not 100% health. We knew this even when he won his belt, you know, but Mox was less healthy. So Ray became the
chain of, yeah.
Yeah. And so I, you know, the fact that, so this is a great match. I don't have much to say about it, but Orange Cassidy.
I mean, I already said Orange Cassidy and Ray Fenix.
Yeah. You know,
it is a good match.
It's a great match. And they both sell the fuck out of everything. And Ray, you know, repeatedly was demonstrating to the audience that his back's fucked up or whatever this actually fucks up. I don't know, but he was.
It was his wiener.
Signaling his back. And so.
It was definitely his wiener.
So when Orange wins, it's like funny in a way because you're like, oh, okay, so now Orange can put it back in his backpack. Penta shows up to help Ray or whatever. Ray gets to heal. And honestly, just loving Ray Fenix as I do, I want him to heal. I want him to have all of the things, but I also want him to be a healthy person and continue to
I'm pretty sure he's not injured. I think this is a worked injury.
I thought he was injured before he even got into the ring with Mox.
No, they he was air quotes injured because he couldn't go to the UK.
No, but then there was something afterwards.
Was there?
I thought something happened after that. I can't keep track of all this shit.
Like, there's too many real and fake injuries going on right now. Mm-hmm.
Especially because I did not realize that Cash's injury isn't real. That's definitely a work.
Real? Oh, because of his potential jail time?
Possibly, but I mean, yeah, I don't know. Hmm. But this one, I feel like Ray is not injured. Definitely, you know, if he wants to get the time off, he absolutely should. I feel like they're taking the belt off him, you know, because he wasn't supposed to have it. I don't know. I mean, obviously, it's great that Orange has it. He was a fantastic champion, and it will continue to be a fantastic champion. But I'm sort of on the fence here about how this all went down.
It's all right for sure. Like, I think that I would be excited by somebody entirely new, like having it like for a good stretch. I wouldn't have been against Ray having it for a while, I guess.
Nor I.
He's a tag team guy. It's a little less exciting for it to return back to Orange so fast.
Yeah, that's why I'm torn, because like I he's fantastic and definitely worthy of it, but you know, like I do kind of want to see something new.
But him Ray being injured, to me, sort of like it makes sense if it goes back to Orange, because they don't have anyone else they really want it to go to.
And it's possible that the idea was that he would win it back really quickly from Mox, you know.
Who knows?
I don't know. This was one of more than one segment that I didn't thumb at the time because I don't know how I feel about it. It's great that Orange will be putting on good matches again, but story-wise, this switch didn't feel like anything. It was like I wasn't like really wanting
it was Ray
to
weird.
Keep it. I wasn't really wanting Orange to have it. You know, like there's no feud here that they even like. At this point, they could have like Penta could have gotten mad at him and, you know, like slapped him or something like that. Like, for the honor of my brother or whatever, and they just didn't bother.
Yeah,
it was just nothing.
For the honor of Grayskull.
It is kind of weird. I will grant you that, but it's also weird in general because I thought Ray won it for a reason, but the only reason is because Mox was injured. So it's like, well, now I didn't know how to feel about it in general? Like, how should I attach myself to this feeling? Should I feel really good about it, or should I not be emotionally attached because they're going to rip this away soon because Ray isn't supposed to have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
According to what they had planned. So yeah. This is like, to me, I never anticipated Ray to have it for long, only because when I found out the only reason why he won is because Mox had to stop, you know? So I don't know. This match for me, because I didn't have those feelings, was a thumbs up.
Yeah, it was a thumbs up for me.
Also, did you guys notice that there was a guy in the crowd with a chainmail headgear on?
I did see that. Yeah,
King Arthur style.
Scott Steiner outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, we'll have to get you some Scott Steiner promos to watch.
Yeah.
That dude is an interesting, interesting guy.
Wait, is that the same? No, as someone else. There's a Steiner that does the Rose Parade stuff.
It's not the same. No,
it's probably a different Steiner.
It's
probably.
I mean, I'm sure there's lots of. I'm just saying. I read about this guy for the first time today in my life, so I was like, "Wait, what a crazy coincidence!" And it's like, "Yes, it's just a coincidence."
Okay. I'm not going to say definitively that Scott Steiner isn't intimately involved with the Rose Parade, but I do not know that for a fact.
Okay.
Rose Parade. Let's see what Urban Dictionary says.
Scott Steiner, math.
It could also be a different name. I'm recalling in the moment as Steiner, but it's not Steiner.
Oh, yeah, Hector Johnson. No, I know what you're talking about now.
Oh, Mark Steins? Is that who you're talking about?
Or something like that. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Something like that.
Oh, my God.
What? Fuck you. I remember everything so perfectly all the time. God. Okay.
I would like anything, not everything.
Whatever.
All right, hold on. We got to get to this because
I would like to.
It's normally I would not consider this a segment, but by God, I watched the entire commercial break. So yes, it is.
So Timeless Toni Storm, she's ready for a close-up, and she says there's not enough cinema on TV, whatever. And so she's like, we're going to do a silent film. And so
– No.
A film.
She made a film.
Yeah, but she's Australian.
They don't call it a film in Australia. Toni Storm calls it a film because she's bonkers.
At any rate.
So – anyway, they're showing this silent film that she's doing during the commercials. And I'm sorry, I had a hard time. I couldn't watch it because the commercials are too distracting. I couldn't.
You were distracted from Toni Storm basically doing charades or possibly some short form improv over the commercials because there's too much pizza.
After the first, 30 seconds or minute, you see what there is to see. You get it. And it's like you just lose interest. I just lost interest. Yes, the pizza was more interesting to me. You know this about me. If there's food, I cannot look away. The algorithm knows it. Everyone knows it. All companies know this because they know all information about my purchasing. They know all information about my browsing, whatever.
Yeah. No, they have all the information. That's why they don't need to listen to you. They
know me better than me. They know me better than I know me. So, you know, it shouldn't be a surprise to you.
So what does that boil down to for you on Toni Storm?
Oh, I love Toni Storm.
Well, no, but what segment? The segment.
Yeah.
Oh,
thumb the segment, Teresa.
We're thumbing this?
Oh, we are absolutely thumbing this. This is Timeless Toni Storm we're talking here.
I mean, I definitely like it. I don't know. You guys go.
You don't Cold Stone love it.
Why don't you guys talk about it?
Too much. And I did have to sort of focus in on it because I was also losing interest. Nevertheless, I do it in this for the same reason that I sit through all of the credits when I go to a film, because I want to respect the people that have done the work. And God damn it, Toni Storm has done the work. I thumb this up.
Wow. Because it was in picture in picture, it definitely was hard for me, and I ended up middling it because I wanted full screen and I wanted a jaunty piano.
A jaunty piano would have been lovely.
Yeah, I'm middling it. It was very busy. It was great. I absolutely 100% support it. It's a great idea because, that's always the struggle. What the fuck do you do during these weird, tiny TV moments? You know, it's technically the show is on, but not enough to really matter. So it's a great way to, just throw something in there, you know? But I feel like it would have been better if it was just something dumb, like she's sitting in front of a mirror putting on makeup, or she's looking out a window being sad, or I don't know, you know what I mean? Just anything else I feel like would have been better, because I feel like it was trying to do something that was just not possible given the what it was up against, which is strong, well done advertising.
And I wish they would have shot something real also. They did this thing that was an extension of where she already was. And I wish they would have had a separate thing that they were actually roll it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been neat.
What are you thumbing it?
I middled it.
Okay. Here's the thing. There's another segment coming up, so we can mm-hmm. continue this discussion on the other side right after this break. There's no break. We don't have frigging commercials. I don't think. Do they put commercials in here?
You could. No. If we partnered with someone, we'd have to read off a script right now.
Legal Zoom for all your
mounts for all your shit eating dreams. It makes eating poop more delicious.
You know what? I feel like you do eat poop.
I don't.
I bet you do.
I for some reason have to say I don't. Even though it's obvious that you're joking, I'm the worst. I do this. I can't help it. All right, next. We've got Wardlow versus Matt Sydal.
Matt Sydal is back, baby.
Back, baby.
Is he, though?
I mean, barely. But Matt Sydal, I feel like, has always been sort of support team. I mean, he was featured so much early on in AEW, and he's so good. But now that they've had, as time went on, they had more and more talent that they signed. He became more of support team and, trainer, coach, partner, whatever. And I love the fact that I love that we have him back and he's on TV. I think he deserves as much. He deserves a lot more. But it's also not surprising to me that this was a Wardlow squash. It's sad because I love Matt Sydal, but I also am he's kind of the support guy, so when they don't have a local talent to throw in there, maybe they're just
when does Jason Reynolds not answer the phone? I ask you.
See, that's why this infuriates me, because he's not Jason Reynolds. He's not just enhancement talent.
Yeah, he's incredible. He's
a genuinely amazing wrestler.
Yeah.
And if you want to have Wardlow squish somebody, he's not the guy. You can have Wardlow beat the crap out of him and, you know, like fling him 10 ways from Sunday. And then, you know, Seidel does a great, you know, flying head scissors and then like makes a little comeback and then it gets immediately beat back down. But he got zero offense. It was just a quick squash. And there's no reason to have a guy like Matt Seidel just take, you know, four power bombs. Anybody can do that. It's even as good as he's selling.
Right.
It's not getting him any, it's not getting Wardlow any more over. So like you use someone else for that. And like, I straight up down this because A, I'm not a big fan of the Wardlow squashes anyway. And B, they did it to someone who did not deserve it.
I agree with you on that. Matt Seidel should not have been used like this. Especially if he's back, I want to see like Matt Seidel because he's so fucking great, you know?
Yep.
But, I also am like, maybe they did it because Wardlow is trying to come back. Wardlow's trying to come back. They're trying to push Wardlow. So like, oh, well, Matt Seidel, everyone knows he's great. So if Wardlow squishes him, maybe that, but it's like, but yeah, what's the fucking point? Yeah. It just looked. But you're right. What's the point of having Matt Seidel there if we don't get to watch Matt Seidel?
Yeah, he's got to get in a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I middled it because Matt Seidel was present. But, you know, I was hoping for more. And yeah, I'm not into these squish matches either.
I mean, I got no problem with a squash match. Like the Hobbs was basically a squash match, especially given that they had.
I mean,
two
it was a
like
much
that.
Longer match.
It was. And it was a much longer.
Jericho
but
had his own shit. He got a lot in. He like got immediately fucked up, but he got a lot in. He got the Walls of Jericho. He got, you know, different things going during the match.
Yeah. Calder.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a middle for me also, like for the same reasons as Teresa. like I wanted to see Seidel get some action and he never did. And Wardlow is like he's like Lance Archer, like do you guys ever hear of the dog food problem? It's this thing that they
like,
talk about.
You have to, there has to be more context.
Well, I asked the question. No, yeah. it's a thing that comes up in politics where it's kind of a metaphor, like because if you buy dog food for your dog and they don't eat it, nothing else matters. Like not what's in it, not how they sell it, not anything. Because if the dog doesn't eat it, you're just not going to buy it again. So like they talk about the dog food problem when you try to sell a candidate to people and they just aren't interested in like, you know, no positions matter, no nothing. So that like Wardlow is somebody who they keep, like Lance Archer, they try him with somebody else. They try him in a different form and it just never seems to sell.
Hmm. Yeah. I wonder.
I mean,
I wonder what it would take.
I don't think he sells to us, but like he was crazy.
People
over
really like him,
for a while
there,
and yeah, and they still do like him. Mm-hmm. So we're no judges on that.
No, I guess not. Yeah, we've got Renee Paquette back in one of the rooms talking to Jericho, getting a medical update. He's got his doctor there. But then Daniel Garcia shows up to check on him, and Matt Menard shows up, and he's like, what are you doing? Daniel Garcia's like, I'm checking on him because he's a human and I care about him. I mean, it's just so nice when Garcia throws in any logic because you're like, you're right, man. You're totally right. This is so ridiculous. And that's like so many situations in wrestling. That's just kind of funny. Matt Menard's like, no, he doesn't deserve this. Ah, this is kind of funny. So in this moment, Jericho was getting looked over by their medical doctor there on site. Later, we're told he's in the hospital. So It's a progressive injury.
Oh, I see. I see.
It got worse.
Mm-hmm. But I gave this segment a thumbs up because I like what's happening with Daniel Garcia and Matt Menard. Mm-hmm. If this potentially takes Jericho out for a while, that's all right. I would love for him to come back mega heel and be on the announce desk. That would be great. I miss mega heel, like mega heel Jericho on the announce desk. That was the funniest shit.
Oh, yeah.
So much fun. I would like that.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah. Indeed. I also love this too. Just like a very different take, just a very different vibe to the rest of the show. And it was real nice.
Mm-hmm. Also, thumbs up for me. Angry Daddy Magic is fun.
Yes. Especially when, like, just logic is like, no, never. All right, we've got Hangman Adam Page versus Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
The Bullet Club comes out on just, tricycles, just and they're beating. Not just any tricycle. They're big wheels with the big plastic seat. And I was like, this couldn't – you can't script something better, and I'm sure they did script it, but this is just too perfect. Like, why? No, how come?
The absurdity of like confidently doing guns up while you're on those tricycles.
Oh God, it's so good.
Puerile and perfection.
It was puerile just so action. Perfect. This was a great match, and I thought Jay White came across really well here.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked this match. Jay White wins. I'm not surprised by that. MJF comes out. And
I think it's enough that we need to break this up. Like the match proper is a segment. Okay. The whole second part of it is
the second part is really long. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's very lengthy. Yeah.
So the match, I gave a thumbs up. Big thumbs up.
It was great. Yeah, it was a great finish. Mm-hmm. We call back the earlier interaction with Prince Nana and, he's getting a receipt for that earlier interference. Fantastic.
Caller?
I thumbs it up. Yeah.
Okay. Then we got MJF coming out. MJF cuts a promo. He's saying, like, I'm trying to be a better man. It's really hard. Trying to be better because I've earned these people's respect.
You know what? He is like it started out as kind of like this smarmy, ironic face stuff, and now he's starting to like transition into like genuine. I'm genuinely a better person, and
it's so good. How does he fucking do this? This is so good.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because I wasn't buying into this sort of thing, and he wasn't either. And he's letting the jaded old assholes like come in on it. It's just wonderful.
It's real good. And when Juice talks, everyone boos. I love it. This is just such a great. It was a great back and forth, great promos all around, and. This whole just the way MJF can go from like the heeliest heel to I'm just kind of a good guy. I'm a good guy to my friend to I'm actually trying to make good choices, which is like a whole other thing, right? Being good to your friends and family is one thing. Making good choices out in the world is a whole other thing. And so, I mean, God. It's just so good. This whole arc, personal discovery is incredible. And I give it a thumbs up. Big, big thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have I just want to take a quick moment to give it up for Juice, who had to write Dynamite Dozen Battle Royal on his hand and read it off that to remember it. such a weird, wonderful flourish. Like, this guy doesn't give a shit about anything. He doesn't even bother to memorize the things. So good. The last Juice
wrote,
part.
Juice wrote a lot of stuff on a lot of stuff.
The last part is boy, that is a choice. That is a choice given what is happening in the world today.
I guess so.
I don't even know how to approach this because it is very much in keeping with the storylines that AEW tells, with the stuff that MJF is specifically allowed to bring in from his life. Under ordinary circumstances, Juice bringing out a roll of quarters is masterful heel stuff. It twists it in just enough way, just enough so that you know, this sort of like goofy cartoony heel then like says something really, really, you know, shitty, and MJF, you know, kind of loses emotional control, for good reason. But given that it's happening just days after Hamas has invaded Israel and murdered hundreds of civilians, and we have a heightened police response in goddamn Los Angeles because we're worried that anti-Semites are going to, like, I don't know, attack synagogues and shit. That's a real bad time to be pulling even really veiled, coded anti-Semitic stuff like this. I
don't remember the situation you're talking about.
MJF tells the story about how in high school he tried to get on the football team, and I don't remember if it was hazing or, you know, whatever, but like the football kids would like throw quarters at him because he's Jewish.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And that's why Juice always has a roll of quarters. Juice has done this before. He's had like a roll of quarters in his hand when he in the ring.
A roll of quarters is a sort of standard foreign object that wrestlers use. Cause I mean, also like if you've ever had to punch somebody, having a roll of quarters in your hand is real useful for that. But this specific instance, they attach it to that, and storyline wise, they're talking about the story that he told, why MJF is reacting the way he did. It is specifically anti-Semitic.
Mm.
I feel like they should have dropped it. It makes perfect sense, like I said, any other time. But right now, not great.
Yeah, probably.
I'm still thumbing it up, but I would like them to make better choices.
We've got Hikaru Shida versus Saraya.
I already thumbed it. Did you?
Yes.
I didn't hear you.
You're too up your own ass.
Of course I am. I'm always up my own ass. What do you not get about that? It's my thing.
And we have more Lover's Lament.
More Toni Storm during the commercial. And at this point, like I said, I was like watching it because I felt like we definitely should do this. And I don't want to see it again. But I think it is brilliant that they decided to do it once.
Yeah.
Are we thumbing it again?
I'm still thumbing it up.
Are you?
Completely new segment. Oh, you going to thumb it in the middle or you going to thumb it down?
I guess I'll thumb it the way I thumbed it.
I'm middling. I didn't even write it down.
Yeah, it was a middle. I guess a new middle for me.
All right.
Hikaru Shida versus Saraya. It's interesting. Like, Saraya doesn't have fireworks. You know, who they choose to have fireworks for and all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of interesting that you know, she has the belt and they don't do any fireworks for her.
I mean, some characters don't really call for it.
True, but I don't know. Just one of those things where you're like, oh, I guess they had to tighten their belt on their fireworks budget.
The way to make sure you get them is to be like, I'm fireworker.
Yeah. No. I'm fireworks man. Every time I step on a stage, fireworks shoot out. So that's my gimmick. Better bring some fireworks for me. this was a good match. Ruby at one point was like going to interfere with spray paint, but she got spray painted.
What was funny was that she covers herself up as if it matters whether it's obvious who she is or not.
Yeah, that was really weird, right? Like, as though she had been hiding the whole time, but no one saw her because she blends in with what? A shadow?
No, she's production staff.
You know, or something.
Or she's one of those Japanese puppeteers who...
she didn't even have like a... Oh, whatever. Anyway, so yeah. But then Toni Storm interrupted with her shoes. And so she went after Ruby with her shoes. This was a good match. There were some back and forth pins, which were interesting. They weren't bad, and they didn't go on forever because on the second one, she the fucking got the win. I was like, oh my fucking God, they did it. She did. She got the win. That's exciting.
This is another title change that I don't know how I feel, because I get why Saraya got the belt. You're in England, of course, you know, give it to the hometown girl, where she's crazy over. But after that point, like, I really wanted to see her hold it for a while. Because I want to see some credibility established for this belt. Like, let's see someone keep it for a long time and make it mean something. To flip it this quickly is A, not great. B, Sheeta, the story there is, I get it, you know, it's there, but I don't have any strong emotional investment in Sheeta versus Saraya specifically. So, here's another one of the segments where I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this because it's a good match.
Make a decision.
Toni comes in with the shoe and you know I'm going to pop for that. I don't know.
Here's the – what's interesting is when I think back, I'm like – how many times did Saraya defend the belt since she got it, right? You can't turn the belt into something if you're not wrestling. If they're not going to show a women's match, then you're really kind of hemmed in on how much you can actually build a belt, right? Or the story of the belt or the importance of the belt. So I honestly don't remember her defending it, like maybe once, I don't remember. But again, as I've established so many times, I have just shit memory. So, maybe she did.
It's all that candy corn you're eating.
Yeah. But Sheeta, however, it seems like the AEW crowd has such a soft spot for her and wants to see her like have a reign where it's in front of a crowd, because when she did wrestle a lot, when she had the belt before, you know, it was quiet audience. There was no audience. It was like the wrestlers around the ring and that's it. And like, she's grown so much and changed so much as a wrestler. Like, there's another chance here. Now this would be her third time. So it's not like she didn't have the belt. She did have that moment in front of a crowd. This already happened. But maybe they want her to have a longer run. And Saraya may have been purely just because they were going to Wembley. And so this was planned to go back to Sheeta at some point. I don't know. But I definitely am like, I can't blame them for making this choice. It's then I understand where you're coming from. Like, what are you supposed to feel? Because they're not letting us for this women's match, for any women's story, really. They're not letting us have any feelings about anything because all of it is arbitrary. All of it is temporary. None of it goes anywhere. So I don't fucking know. It makes sense that we don't know how to feel. I was happy to see Sheeta get it because I think she's earned so much as a performer and as a someone that's been around AEW for a while. You know, like, I feel like she's earned another shot at pushing the women's division. If Saraya can't do it simply on the name alone, because clearly Tony Khan, that he was banking on that. He was like, we don't need to do anything ever. Let's just put someone in that has a name already, and then we can just sit back and forget about the women's division altogether. That's just not how this is going to work. So anyway, I don't know. It's annoying.
Yeah.
But I'd rather see Sheeta give it a shot. If it's not working with the fucking with Saraya, if it's not working with the Outcasts, then let's see what Sheeta does, because she at least has, there's a lot of loyalty there from the fan base. So we'll see.
Here's like, I 100% agree. And I, you know, like, Sheeta absolutely deserves to have the belt again, but I also feel like Nyla deserves that belt. And
lots of women, I would have been
a lot of women. Yeah. But like, Nyla's in almost exactly the same position, been there, you know, forever. And like, we haven't seen her in a while. You know, if they hotshotted that, if they just had her come in somehow, accidentally win a qualifier match and then beats Saraya, like, whoa, I would have been so excited and been like, oh my God, I can't believe that happened.
That would have been cool.
Yeah, they don't even people that they won't even let win the TNT title.
Yeah.
God.
And with only one segment a week. You're not moving shit. You're just wasting that time because you're not formulating any stories.
Think of all the time that's been given to the TBS belt. You know,
The TBS, not the TNT.
Like the time given to the TBS belt, it's been, you know, a lot of focus on that belt, and you kind of forget that there's also a women's championship belt. But yeah, it exists and it's been on Saraya, and we haven't seen any story about it at all. So, gosh, my neighbors are having an argument.
Oh my.
And it's very loud.
Is it about this?
No, but I'm one of those people that's like,
Do we need to pause the podcast so that you can listen to their fight?
I am out with my mother and we're at a restaurant and she overhears someone arguing. I'll be like not hearing it or whatever. I'm like, so blah, blah, blah. She's like, and she makes me be quiet so she can listen.
You have become your mother.
It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's unfortunate, but it's inevitable. And I've seen it coming for a while now. The signs, the red flags are everywhere. I am 100%.
So sad.
Curiosity kills the cat. And I'm just too curious for my own good.
Well, if it's not too loud for you, could you thumb this match, please?
I still thumb the matchup.
Okay. Yes. Caller?
Yeah, same.
Okay.
All right. So then they tell us that Jericho went to the hospital. That's where they tell us. But this next bit, Don Callis and Takeshita, they do cue cards. Takeshita is doing the cue cards. Now, this I approve of. This type of cue card situation I approve of. Because
oh, you mean like a Sammy Guevara type angle? You want to see more Sammy Guevara stuff?
No. See, there's a big difference between, and I knew this was being an issue, there's a big difference between when Sammy does it and when Takeshita does it. Takeshita has not been allowed to talk this whole time, right? We never hear him. It's always Don Callis. And then we'll hear Takeshita maybe say a little Japanese into the camera after the segment's kind of wrapped. You know what I mean? So this makes sense to me that he's got these cue cards and he's doing this because he's the silent guy right now. He's the silent guy who sometimes speaks in Japanese if they let him. And I'm like, if you don't know what else to do with Takeshita, if you don't know how else to get him to communicate to the audience, this is a fun one. This is all right. I don't mind it. I wish it was like you could also incorporate it in other ways because it's hard for me to pay attention to anything during a commercial break. But sorry, it's just true.
Wow, you wouldn't hang for Tony, but you will give up your pizza obsession for 3 minutes to watch Takeshita, huh?
Well, look. Wow. I'm more curious about what are on Takeshita's cards.
Why do you hate women, Teresa? I guess is the question that we
I told you. I watched it, but like I just lost interest and my eyes went to the food or whatever the fuck it was. I don't know. I don't even remember. I'm sure it was food, but I just don't remember. You know what I mean? I'm not saying I didn't watch Tony. I'm saying it wasn't enough to compel me to glue my eyes to it. Reading Takeshita's cue cards because I don't know what he's going to say. And it's more interesting than Sammy. Sorry. Because Sammy talks all the time, right? We hear Sammy all the time. So cue cards are like, okay, that's an interesting... It was interesting the first time, but he said dumb stuff. It was like what was on them was stupid. So then I was like, oh, well, forget you.
Fair enough.
So is that a segment?
Oh, yeah.
Unquestionably. Oh, yeah.
If we're doing both Tony Storm segments, we got to thumb this one, too.
I upped this one.
I only
did it. I upped it, too.
Oh.
Okay. All interesting. Right. why did you middle it?
I guess I didn't find it especially like out of the norm for a cue card segment, so I didn't like get super excited for it.
Okay.
We got Renee and MJF. MJF said,
look at MJF being a gentleman.
Oh my God. I was like, what an evolved human. He's like, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just not in the mood for an interview right now. I got to call my boy. He calls Adam, but the call drops. Because, as we know, Adam's in a place that doesn't have service. So the Acclaimed show up and suggest that they form a tag alliance because MJF was challenged by the Bang Bang Gang to get three people to tag with. And the Acclaimed are like, here, us. But Daddy Ass is like, hey, wait a minute. Why'd you suggest her services or something? And Max Caster's like, I don't know. He's like, my boy, da-da-da. We started at the same time. And I like it when he plays hard to get. And I was like, hard to get? What? What? Is this gay baiting? What's happening right now?
Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah.
I don't know. Another segment. I had to question mark because I'm like, yeah, is this queer baiting? Is it just like, is it a weird retread of jealous friend thing? Like the Roddy Cole thing? I did love Bowen's going, he's kind of sus, dude.
Yeah, that was funny.
He just pitched it in a way that was like, yeah, that's pretty great. But yeah, Max's thing of like, we started in the business at the same time and we're kind of friends. it just doesn't, whatever they're trying to get across is not reading properly to me. I don't feel like this is weird or, oh, this is adorable or this is, you know, something. I'm just confused in a
what it feels like way. Is like Max Caster to me is in the position of that Kevin James meme that's going around.
What? The Kevin James meme?
Yeah. Have you not seen that?
I mean, I think I've seen it, but now I can't remember what it's.
It's just Kevin James sort of like smirking like over something like impish. And that just is what it feels like Max Caster is doing. He's just sort of being a chaotic imp character.
There's a way to play a chaotic imp. Juice Robinson is a chaotic imp character. I'm not feeling this.
Well, I wasn't selling it. I was trying to explain it.
No, I'm saying I have solidified my own thoughts on it. I'm going to middle this. And if it continues, it's going to start going trending down. But
yeah, I middled it.
I upped it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're into this.
He's interested. He's curious. Right. He's curious. All right,
baby.
His curiosity. He's kind of sus.
Called this kind of sus.
Dude. Oh, no.
Aww. We've got Christian Cage and Luchasaurus.
No, we're coming out to Christian's music. At first, I thought this was the beginning of the match. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, I was like, what's happening? And Christian Cage is like, okay. I am their father, not their leader. Whoa. I was like, ooh.
Oh, so great.
That's the difference. Wow.
He's busy taking shots at the Judgment Day. Like, damn. I'm not their leader. I am their father. He sells out like friggin' James Earl Jones.
I'm like telling Darth
Vader and shit. It's great.
It's so good.
Also, I will also say this, that Nick Wayne currently is perfect in this role because he's basically just like sort of like standing there and kind of frowning a little bit. He comes across as, you know, like the terror of old people, like kids today with their drugs and their wilding and all that, and like he looks when he just sort of like stares stone faced, it just kind of looks like a creepy amoral kid that like could just
menacing
like
youth.
Stab you because he's like 18 and he didn't give a fuck.
He doesn't
he's
come a youth. Across like that to me.
A youth. Well,
he does to me, maybe because I'm very old and scared of kids.
Well,
a youth.
I've seen scarier kids in my life, so that doesn't look good. He looks like some kid that'll like, you know, put a roofie in your drink. But
yeah, I was just thinking that.
Yeah,
you did come from the wilds of Springfield, Illinois, so Lord knows what kind of feral children you've seen.
Look, there was nothing to do except for no good, so that's all there was to get up to. So yeah, anyways.
Also, he like take shots at Edge's wife and his kids. Like,
because
put out some clean sheets because your new father's coming home.
He's got to explain why he said "go fuck yourself." It's like some of you want to know more explaining on the three words I said last week. It's like
look. What on my deathbed, as all of my memories are drifting away and I'm just a drooling vegetable, the last three images in my head, one will be Randy Macho Man Savage crushing Ricky Steamboat's throat as the lead-in build up to WrestleMania 3. Two will be Mick Foley being thrown off the cage. And three will be Christian hugging Edge and saying, go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself.
It is such an iconic moment. I just love it so much.
That last memory of Edge or Christian hugging Edge and saying, go fuck yourself, ironically, is you saying that to your son. Because right now you're telling your son, you won't be part of my last three memories when I'm dying.
He knows where he is on the totem pole. He knows where the hierarchy goes.
That's funny. All right. So we've got a match.
We all thumbed this one up.
Okay.
We got Luchasaurus versus Adam Copeland. I didn't even take notes. I was too invested. How did you guys feel about this match?
Pretty good. Pretty strong.
I shouldn't have too high expectations of this because this is just sort of like an let's get your feet wet kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But the action proper did not really compel me. And by the time we got to the schmoz at the end, I wasn't really into that booking. It got to be kind of fun at the end because there were so many people out there and it was just sort of, you know, this huge thing.
Remember when AEW used to do that at like the end of every show?
Oh, that's happened a lot of times. All run out.
Good times.
Anyway, yeah.
But
go ahead.
Overall, yeah, I didn't. This didn't grab me. Christian's role in this is where I'm invested. All the rest of the parts, less to varying degrees, less so.
I was very concerned about Edge and his neck. And his age. Anybody AEW signs, basically, anymore. Any big announcement. It's always someone that's like, I retired, but I'm back. Or I should retire, but I've decided not to. You know, it's always that. And that's fine. Whatever. It is what it is. I still love AEW. So I'm already concerned about the guy, right? Like when he was at WWE, when we were watching, when he came back, then it was like a miracle because his neck, he was told he would never wrestle again and all this stuff, right? So it was like, whoa, the guy's wrestling. And it made me nervous then because he wasn't supposed to come back, according to doctors, but he did. Right, he did fine.
You know,
well
who
enough.
Who else
too.
Wasn't supposed to come back?
Who?
Bryan Danielson.
Jesus. Oh, I thought Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
Also Jesus.
Right?
Except Bryan Danielson did come back, so that's one up on him.
But you know what I mean? It's like it's very concerning, and so I'm already concerned about it. And it's been like years since we watched, you know, WWE, and or that I have, anyways. And that he came back. But anyway, so I was very concerned. And it didn't help that the announce desk kept bringing up his neck. And Luchasaurus is just – every time they have a match with Luchasaurus, he's the perfect wrestler. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. His gimmick is so complete.
He's the most complete big man in the sport.
His look is so good. His action is so good. His variance of style is so good.
Yeah, I mean, when he goes into the eloquent talking phase.
That was funny when he did that. I mean, he's like the perfect wrestler. And so I'm always so amazed when they gift us with a match of his because you forget. Because he's always like the background, like monster, and he looks good. He looks good as a monster. There's nothing wrong there. But then he's also so phenomenal in the ring, you know, that you're like, fuck. God damn. Like, I have no notes on this man whatsoever. He can do it all. And, if they ever let him talk, he can do that funny little, like a caveman lawyer thing, but
I'm sorry. Oh, you mean Phil Hartman? Yes, yeah. Phil Hartman doing it.
Okay, okay.
'90s SNL, man. It was fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah, I don't know. But he doesn't even need to say a word. He's too good as is. So it's like, I don't know. Anyways. And Edge was selling it like crazy, but it also was not, you know, they were acknowledging this isn't what fans wanted to see. They didn't want to see Adam Copeland getting his ass beat You know, they want to see Adam Copeland be victorious, be like, you know, all strength and glory. And so it is a turn, you know, it is different. And it makes everyone question what the fuck's going to happen next. If Adam Copeland sucks, what do we do? What do we do with all of our hopes and dreams? You know?
Oh,
no.
Oh God.
So, yeah,
fine question.
There's a lot on the line here. So I was very invested, and I just really liked the storytelling. The schmas at the end where everybody's coming out to help everybody else and hurt everybody else. That's also fun. I wonder what that will like lead to, like what alliances, what allegiances will be born. I don't know. It's all an open question right now.
It's interesting that the BCC is coming out to make the face saves lately.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because Mox is not there, or if, you know, it's just like, well, it's time to move him back over.
I don't know. It's very interesting. Yeah. Yuta's trying to, you know, Yuta had that whole moment, with so-and-so where he's like giving him advice or some shit. And, then it ends up as a challenge, but like, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like there's little hints that something's moving, something's changing with the BCC, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see
what happens. I'll blind copy all of you on that.
Yeah, please do.
Thank you.
But it was a huge thumbs up for me.
Yeah, it was a thumbs up for me as well.
I did middle it. But we still ended up with an 84% show.
Hey.
Wow.
Not bad.
Yeah, there was some stuff that I feel like we split on pretty hard. But also, I mean, just some really amazing stuff too, no?
I thought it was a good episode myself.
It was a pretty good episode overall, yeah.
And it's hard after such a big pay-per-view. It's always hard to like start fresh.
Well, it's a new era. I mean, that's what we've been told.
So we were told, indeed.
Nothing but eras.
So they say.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you once again, Doug Johnson.
Yes.
We'll send you pictures of us doing something wrestling related in an AMC.
Just bonding time for us.
It may be Teresa giving a pile driver to Calder as we watch Trolls 3, but you know.
That's how I troll.
That's
maybe how I troll.
Unanswered questions from Trolls 2.
What?
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding ding, ding ding, ding ding, ding ding, ding.